We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
You are a giant pile of trash.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey. I take offense to that, Will Brinson. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Watch the show at watchda.com. Available anywhere on any device every single day. The Wizard of watchda.com. Pulling levers, pushing buttons. Andrew Kaplan in the back of the simulcast, looking slick as usual because we're a full service CBS Sports Radio show. Taylor Swift, 29 years old, will turn 30 in December and will actually open up the Rams' new stadium next summer. That'll be the first musical act at the brand new Rams Stadium in Los Angeles next summer.
How about that?
How about that?
Huh?
So much to get into here on week number 3 of the NFL season. So joining us to do all of that, a man who will live up to the task. His name is Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. And I'm sure beloved Swifty himself. Good morning, Will.
What's up, DA? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
I can't complain. I get down to Taylor Swift, but I'm not a huge, I don't know if I'd call myself a Swifty, but I get down. I'll listen. I'm not necessarily seeking it out.
I see. Okay. How much of the Browns' problems do you blame on Freddie Kitchens?
Pretty good amount. I think when you look at this Cleveland team, what you see is a club that is dealing with the exact problems that we sort of detailed before the season, where, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, the Browns are going to be great. They're going to win the Super Bowl. This team can, shrug off the long history of the Cleveland Browns. It's like, well, it's not really about that. Here's the problem, guys. It's that they don't have a good offensive line, and they have a first-year head coach who's also going to be calling plays and may or may not end up somewhat overwhelmed and, you know, having to deal with all these personalities. I mean, this is a they have more penalties. This team had more penalties in the first quarter last night than the Dolphins have points this year. And that's not a compliment to the Dolphins. Or anything. They're not a disciplined football team. They're not making smart decisions in the red zone. We saw that, you know, they got first down inside the 5. They didn't run the ball once with Nick Chubb. I mean, you got to try and, you know, at least keep the Rams honest there, pound the ball there. They didn't run the ball at all. I don't think that Freddie Kitchens necessarily knew that it was 4th and 9 when he ran that draw near midfield. That should have certainly not been a turnover on down situation, or at least you put the ball in Baker's hands. Baker Mayfield, I don't want to say he's regressing, but he's jumping out of clean pockets. He's rolling to the right too much. He's not trusting his pocket, and he's not playing well against good defenses. And I would be very worried if I was a Browns fan that this is what the team is and not a Super Bowl hopeful that you thought you were going to get.
Out of these two undefeated teams, who do you think is a more legitimate threat for the playoffs, the Bills or the Lions?
Yes, I think both are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think both are. I think both have pretty good defenses. I would take the Bills over the Lions just because, A, I think the division is easier, not net easier. The Patriots are there, obviously, but there's, you know, I think there's four teams that are viable playoff contenders in the NFC North. And so somebody has to miss out, right? I mean, it's de facto. At least with the Bills, it looks like the Jets are going to be bad and the Dolphins are probably the worst team in football. So while the Bills probably aren't going to catch the Patriots and they play them this week and they're 7.5-point dogs, they can at least make a run at a wild card. I think the Lions can be a really good football team and still miss out on the playoffs because, you know, the Vikings are good and the Bears are good and the Packers are good. So that would be my argument for the Bills. But I think both teams are pretty good. I mean, you know, the Lions should be 3-0, and you could argue they could have easily lost in week 2. I get it, but they definitely should have won in week 1. You know, they've taken care of business. They look like they want to gag away games late, but they have a good defense. They have a pretty good running game. Matthew Stafford looks healthy. Kenny Galladay playing really well. And then with the Bills, I mean, Sean McDermott's just a good coach. I know that people like to to dump on him for the, you know, the whole Nathan Peterman thing, and I get it. But this guy gets more out of his teams. I mean, he wins games, he wins closer games, he finds ways to squeeze wins out. Josh Allen is playing pretty well. They got enough weapons. They're not like the sexiest weapons in the world, like John Brown and Cole Beasley and Frank Gore, but they're getting the job done. And the defense is a really stout unit. So I'm buying the Bills as a playoff team.
Will Brinson joins us, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. How could the Broncos organization be built on defense, have a defensive head coach, and be so bad on defense? How is this possible?
Yeah, it's really annoying. I don't really know exactly what's happening. They don't have a single sack.
Yeah.
3 weeks into the season, they have a single sack, and they played the Raiders. I mean, I get it. You played Aaron Rodgers. Maybe you didn't sack him, but you played Derek Carr and Mitchell Trubisky. It's brutal. I would anticipate that number goes up in the next 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, we saw the – you know, the Jaguars are okay on the line, but, you know, Gardner Minshew's good, but I think they can get to him. Phillip Rivers can be sacked, and Marcus Mariota too. But yeah, I mean, this is a, you know, they didn't really come close to beating the Packers. Like that, like I get it. You could argue that they could have been 2-0 heading to Green Bay, and two of their first three games have been on the road, so you got to cut them a little bit of slack. But the Chargers, Titans, and Chiefs coming up, as well as the Jaguars, Chargers, Titans, Chiefs, Colts, Browns. That's not an easy slate of games. I mean, that's six games where they're going to decide the fate of this team for this season, and whether or not, you know, Joe Flacco was a good trade and whether or not Vic Fangio was a good hire. I mean, it seems simplistic to say, but when you got the Vikings and Bills on the road out of the bye, it just doesn't get any easier. I mean, it's going to be a tough schedule. The Broncos don't look like an offense that can overcome defensive weaknesses, and the defense doesn't look like it can get after anybody right now. So, yeah, it's a major red flag. They needed to come out, you know, guns blazing defensively to try and compete in what is obviously going to be a very difficult division. I know the Chargers find ways to lose games in September. I think they'll turn it around eventually. The Chiefs are going to look like they're going to waltz to that division. So for Denver to be anything resembling a playoff contender, that defense has to start getting better. And I honestly don't know why they're not as good. Vic Fangio's hire, to me, screamed elite defense, and it has not been the case, D.A.
I can't, in good conscience, ever say that a Steelers coach is on the hot seat because they change coaches so rarely. But for Mike Tomlin to lose that game yesterday when the 49ers gave five turnovers away. Do you think that speaks to the coaching of the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. Look, they have had, I mean, it's ridiculous, right? Like, they've had three coaches since 1969. I mean, that's insane. Like,
yep.
That is, it's absolutely insane that they've, yep, had three coaches since, like, I don't think that they would fire him after this year. And maybe I'm wrong. Losing Big Ben for the season, when you lose a Hall of Fame quarterback and you lose a starting franchise quarterback, as an ownership group, when you pride yourself on being patient and you believe Mike Tomlin is the guy and he's won a Super Bowl for you and he's never been under 500, you know, you're going to tend, I think, to talk yourself into being patient and into waiting for another year. Additionally, you know, I don't, and this is such a long way off, but we can't anticipate that, you know, there's going to be, you know, like Lincoln Riley is just magically going to be available. And so I don't think the Steelers – I think this is the season that gets Mike Tomlin on the hot seat heading into the next year. If they finish with a top 10 pick and they have to hand that draft pick over, the Minkah Fitzpatrick pick, to the Dolphins, and it's a top 5 or top 10 pick, you know, that's going to reflect poorly on them. Mason Rudolph didn't look great in that game. He had, you know, two throws more than 20 yards down the field. They were both touchdowns, but one was on Yak from Juju, and the other was on Deontay Johnson on busted coverage by Jason Verrett. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is a season where if this whole team looks sloppy and they're getting beat up week to week, it's going to be a situation where he is absolutely on the hot seat heading into next year. And with Big Ben coming back, presumably, you know, it's one of those things where you take a holistic look at everything that's going on with that organization heading into, you know, what could be the final window of a franchise quarterback's career.
Will Brinson joins us, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. You're based in North Carolina, and I don't think anybody saw the Panthers doing that. I know nobody saw Kyle Allen throwing for four touchdowns yesterday and the Panthers putting up 38 points in the desert. Did the Panthers find something with Cam Newton actually being injured?
I think they might have. You know, look, let's bear in mind, this is a premium juice game for Kyle Allen. He's from Scottsdale, Arizona. You know, he's the homecoming situation. He was teammates at Texas A&M with Kyler Murray, and if you read between the lines, you could tell those two dudes didn't really like each other in college. So it is entirely possible that he was real gassed up for this game. Really, you know, like it meant a lot to him, and I think he came out and performed as such. So I don't want to say that the Panthers are safe now or in a good spot now, but I think at the very least, Kyle Allen, given what we saw against the Cardinals on Sunday, gives them the freedom. When you look at their schedule, and it's not up against, they don't have easy defenses on the schedule, but they have these three more games right until their week 7 bye. They get the Texans on the road next week, the Jaguars at home, and at the Buccaneers, which is at, but it's in London, and then they have a week 7 bye. I think it would be, I'm not going to say malpractice, we don't know where Cam is, but it would be silly to even consider bringing Cam back before that London game. Give yourself a month, let him get healthy. Let Kyle Allen play. See what you got. I mean, Cam couldn't hit the broadside of a barn against the Buccaneers last Thursday. Kyle Allen comes in, and it's not like – I mean, he played really well. He's mobile. He can get out of jams. He's accurate. That's the key thing, is he can hit open receivers, and Norv Turner is scheming guys open. And so I firmly believe that the Panthers will be smart about this, that they will rest Cam Newton as much as they can. They will use Kyle Allen. And if they can win two or three of these next three games, all of a sudden they're just right back in the mix in the NFC South. And who knows? Maybe Kyle Allen plays so well that the Panthers are like, look, Cam, sit and get healthy and keep resting. I mean, the further along, the more games you can win in this early part of the season before we get to November, and the more you can stay in that race, and the longer you can push back Cam Newton having to return, the better off you're setting yourself up for the long haul in terms of making decisions with respect to your franchise quarterback.
Final question, about 30 seconds. Which 1 and 2 is scarier, the Eagles or the Falcons?
Oh, I'm so glad you actually gave me two teams to pick from. I was like, oh, man, I got just 1 and 2, D.A.
Come I wouldn't
on.
Do that.
No, I'm just kidding. Definitely the Eagles. I think Keanu Neal looks like he could be done for the season. He left with an Achilles injury. Remember, when their defense was already bad in the first place, and when he went down last year, when he and Deion Jones went down, that defense really cratered. And so they were banking on health on the defensive side of the ball. It is a star-studded roster, but they don't have a ton of depth. And, you know, if Matt Ryan's leading three straight drives in the second half for touchdowns and you're still losing, you got problems. And so I am not buying the Atlanta Falcons quite yet.
Okay. Will Brinson joins us this morning here on the show. Now, for Will, there's a million different places that you can read him and hear him. CBSSports.com is senior NFL writer, but also CBS's Pick Six podcast. Listen to that daily Pick Six podcast, where the guys from CBS Sports break down everything NFL every single day. And I'm sure the fresh one is either up or going up, right?
We have 8 shows now that we put up between Monday and Friday. I'm dead serious. We have 8 shows. So if you like daily dose of NFL talk with a ton of mirth, we have one that just went up that'll preview Monday Night Football with Jared Dubin. Then we talked to Jason Lockenfora. And then we'll have a recap of Monday Night Football that goes up first thing tomorrow morning.
It's mirth heavy with Will.
So jammed with mirth.
Thanks for doing it, Will. Appreciate it, man.
Got it. You got it, buddy. See ya.
Will Brinson joining us this morning here on the show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.